Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about being a martyr. Do you think it's your job to save everyone and their mother? Are you constantly keeping tabs on others to make sure they're okay? Have you found yourself wanting to tell people to take care of themselves? Learn about releasing the martyr complex as we wrap up our month focusing on social relationship clutter. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode was inspired because I used to feel it was my job to make sure everyone was happy and taken care of and smooth things over. And I'm not that bad anymore. I have my moments, but I have largely released feeling that I have to do this, and more importantly, that it was part of my feeling good about myself, that I had to sacrifice myself. I wanted to give you a definition so you understand. So a martyr complex is a pattern of behavior in which a person habitually seeks suffering or persecution as a way to feel good about themselves. I didn't know how to feel good about myself. And so this was one of the ways that I did it. They will sacrifice their needs and desires to do things for others. And what it means is they're not helping because of caring, but out of obligation or guilt. What I'm going through right now in life is a good example. We moved back. I am helping take care of my mom. Now, we're very fortunate because we have people that help. We have caregivers. We have people from hospice. And so I'm really fortunate that we have that help. And I do not understand how families who do not have that support do it. It would be, if I had a martyr complex, then I would say, oh, I'm sacrificing to take care of my mother. And it's not out of obligation. It's because I love her. And it's just, I just feel it's just part of what I agreed to, truthfully, when I came on this lifetime, said, I'm going to go out, leave, explore the world, and come back where I first grew up, and I'm happy to do it. It doesn't feel, I'm not doing it out of obligation, and I'm healthy enough. So for instance, after I record this, my dad said, hey, can you be around for an hour and a half? Because if they come from hospice to give her a shower, I'm like, absolutely. With planning, I can do everything. I got really annoyed. She was having a difficult day and I left. We had a caregiver, Tony, and I went for a walk. And so that is about me being healthy. It's not about sacrificing my sanity and staying here. No, I can't leave and can't take a walk. So I've been doing a really good job of balancing that. So that's kind of a little example. And you can see how someone be like, oh, I sacrifice everything for you. And I'll give you a couple examples later, but that's just one example from my life. So why do people get a martyr complex? It has to do with self-worth. I didn't used to be a doormat. I hardly had any self-esteem. Pay attention if you can't give or receive affection. That was an aha moment as I was preparing this episode for me. I did not correlate that to self-worth. Look at your body image. I still struggle with body image. And especially since I've gained weight, since I was married and started to lose weight, and I'm held off the 10 pounds, but I really need to get a lot healthier. And I struggle with body image. If you are moody or judgmental, then that can be a signal of self-worth. So check in with your self-esteem and your self-worth. You might have the martyr complex if you're depressed. Makes sense if you're not feeling good about yourself and you can't get your needs met. Well, I'm sacrificed, right? And you can kind of get that blended in when feeling depressed. You were abused. You can completely understand how that might manifest itself into the martyr complex. And you create that role for you to take on. When you have a martyr complex, it allows you to avoid guilt and shame. It's a distraction. I know for me, gosh, I had a lot of shame. A lot of shame and guilt. And I know that that stems from some stuff that happened. And when I was in martyr, thinking I'm saving the world and I'm doing this and I'm such this noble, good person, it allowed me to not feel those feelings. I talk about emotional eating and I've gotten a lot better. But for me, that the same thing, a distraction. I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. When you have the martyr complex, you don't have to own your life, right? You don't take responsibility. You blame it on everyone else. You avoid personal growth. If you're here listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube, it's because you want to grow. You want to have personal growth and be a better person. And I mentioned the word distraction. It can also be a coping method, right? How many of us, I mean, I'm in my early 50s and we didn't have any of this growing up. We weren't taught healthy ways to cope. I can't think of anyone in my childhood. You know, again, the self-help movement hadn't started. You know, maybe there were people who were super wealthy that saw really enlightened therapists, but it just, when I was growing up, it just wasn't even there. So we cope, we do the best we can. And that's why you have to have compassion for yourself, because you're doing the best you can. So don't beat yourself up. It's awareness plus action equals change. So you might be wondering, am I a martyr? So here are some signs to look out for. You're about the quid pro quo. You say, oh, I'm so selfless, but that's really not the case. You need someone to be valued by you and you're looking for that praise. So if you are going to make a sacrifice in your mind, what you view as a sacrifice, then you want something in return. I mentioned a moment ago, I'm happy to help care for my mother. I don't do it out of obligation or guilt. It's because I love her and she's done so much throughout my life for me that I'm like, hey, now it's my turn. You're always saying yes. If you're always saying yes to everyone, that means you're most likely saying no to yourself. And so you're making huge sacrifices, right? You put the needs of other people ahead of your own. So check in for a moment. What are you saying yes to? Where would you like to say no? What boundary do you need to be set? If it's never your fault, you will talk about, oh, how you've suffered. People, and right, and that's kind of snaking back into the victim stuff that we talked about earlier. You have difficulty accepting responsibility. You blame others, and it's hard to get over your setback. You know, I talked about the horrible year in 2018. First year was really tough, but I got over it. Do I still have pain? Absolutely. But it didn't prevent me from living my life. So I have setbacks, I'll regroup, how am I able to move forward, but I keep moving forward, I keep taking action. Doesn't mean I don't rest and pause, but it's not something, I think of someone who was in a bitter divorce and was bitter about it for years, and finally, I mean, I want to say it took 30 or 40 years, and it was awesome. They finally were able to get over that and found love again, and I remember she was in her probably 50s or 60s. And she's like, I'm a blushing bride. And it was so awesome to see her so happy and so excited. She finally was able to get out of that martyr complex. Oh, I've had to take care of all these kids. So that was pretty groovy to see. Are you complaining a lot? Say, oh, you know, this sucks. Oh, but it's okay. Oh, I'm exhausted. All I do is take care of people. All I do is make sacrifices. Oh, I don't mind. And you kind of kvetch, complain. Oh, I don't mind. It's okay. So pay attention to that when you're complaining. Do you then qualify it? You refuse assistance. That might be another sign that you're a martyr. You want to do everything on your own. If you receive help, then kind of what's going on in the mind of a martyr is that they can be replaced, right? And that's the last thing. That's scares someone who has that martyr complex. Oh my gosh, what will happen if I'm replaced? Because that's their identity. That's who they are. What happens if you take that away? You will share in the importance of what you did. Oh, it's all because of me. I joke often about my younger brother who is a successful marketer. I'm like, it's because of all that I did for him. I'm 8 years older. So I'm like, all that I did from his childhood. Yeah, his success. I'm a huge part of his success. And I joke about that. But someone who wasn't joking, say, oh, you know, my child, that's a good example. My child is, you know, went off to get their PhD. And it's because all the sacrifices and everything I did for them, not only their child, but, you know, I'd come and do laundry when they're in grad school, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I don't know how they would have managed without me, right? And so you're taking a larger role in someone else's success. How do you describe yourself? Are you describing yourself as a saint, a caretaker? No, that I'm iffy on that one. The hero, a nice guy, a nice gal. I am a caretaker because that's literally describing what I'm doing. But if you were to ask me about myself, I would not use the word caretaker to describe myself. I'd probably say I'm supporting my mom. One of the things, you know, life's a little crazy right now, and my mom's the priority. So be very aware of how you describe yourself. You know, are you a drama queen when it comes, or king, when it comes to your level of suffering? You're like, oh, woe is me. And you just exaggerate it. And so the hangnail becomes an arm that doesn't work, yet you manage to do the laundry. Sorry, guys, I've got a load in going right now. So my mind is kind of on that. So are you exaggerating your level of suffering? Another sign is an obsessive need to be right. You're always right. You have to be right. Because what happens if you're wrong? Again, then it's like we're going to see through that mask that you put on, and maybe you won't be valued as much. If you're not right, then people won't need you anymore. And if people don't need you, where does that leave you? Because you put your whole identity into taking care of others. Earlier, I just mentioned, are you saying yes all the time? So kind of the other side of that, do you have a hard time saying no? Do you have boundaries? Because if you're clearing your boundaries, then you are putting yourself first. You aren't putting others first. And again, boundaries in life need to be fluid, but look at it as a whole. Now here's one, and I did this when I was younger. Assume people can read your mind. I'll never forget, I got angry. I was dating this guy when I lived in Vermont, and I got super angry at him. And he's like, what? It's not like I can read your mind. And that was an aha moment for me, because I was like, oops, I thought that he could read my mind. I thought it was so obvious that what I was saying, just anyone can read it. And it wasn't the case at all. It is a form of emotional manipulation when you're like, oh, I am the noble sufferer. You're doing that to manipulate people. I've talked about it. I've been manipulative when I haven't known how to get what I need, because I was taught, you know, you can't express what you need. That's, I think, societal with a bunch of stuff going on there. Like, you know, just shut up and don't ask for what you want. I think especially as women, we're taught that. With all my stuff, because kind of these things like victim and martyr, like all these things to me have some intersectionality. This would be a way that I could emotionally manipulate someone, because I just didn't know what was healthy. And if you are stagnant, you don't take the initiative to solve problems. Now you're ready to kvetch about it, and you're always finding something that's wrong, but then you never take any action and you just complain about it. I had a client once, and I was first starting out coaching. And I was super excited. Oh, I'm a coach. And I kept coming up with different solutions. Say, well, this isn't working. I'm like, okay, try this. And then finally it dawned on me, she doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't want to. And that's okay. It was her choice, but there was nothing I could do to force her to take action. She just wanted to stay stuck and complain. And that was absolutely her choice. So contemplate those for a moment. What is ringing true to you? Where do you see yourself? And remember, I was definitely more extreme when I was younger. So, but it doesn't mean to be 24/7. You might be a martyr at work, or you might be a martyr at home, or you might be a martyr in your friendship. There just might be an aspect of your life, but you know, I want to clear that clutter and allow you to be the best you can be.
Feel stuck, but have no clue what you need to do to move forward? Would you like to feel energized and excited every day? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Julie Caraccia supports you in finding the answers within and then taking action to make changes happen. Visit reawakenyourbrilliance.com to learn how Julie can support you with life coaching.
So here are some examples. A mother who has made her kids her life. As they get older, then it's going to be a challenge for her because her worth and identity are tied up in the kids. And so as they grow into adults and become more independent, then she might view her worth is diminishing. And so sometimes what will happen is the mom would become passive aggressive to have her kids value and need her and guilt them for, oh, but you know, I did this for, I made all these sacrifices at you so you could be happy. Someone who thinks they can change their partner, raising hand. Tony was probably the first guy, maybe one other, that I felt, oh, I can change their partner. It was my job to change their partner. No, it was when that aha moment of, I create my life, and if I want to be happy, I have to do it myself. At work, maybe it's someone who's always working overtime without being asked, right? They just stay and they get it all done. And then maybe they get passed over for a promotion and they complain about how much they sacrifice and they get nothing in return. Or maybe you're on a group creative project and your attitude, we're like, hey, man, just go have a break. And you say, oh, but the project will fall apart without me. So those are a few examples of being the martyr. Does any of those ring true for you? What would be an example in your life? Now, how do you deal with someone? Before we get how to stop to it, how do you deal with someone if you have a martyr in your life? Boundaries. And that's saying no. That means don't rely on them for everything. If you got to do your own laundry, do your own laundry. If they are someone that gives you a lot of gifts and it's excessive, then you say no. You have those boundaries. You take care of yourself. It doesn't mean you can't accept things, but you need to be really aware of your boundaries and how much you're accepting. You can acknowledge, but not get sucked into a pity party or sympathizing with them because you're adding energy to that. Oh, I stayed up all night baking a cake for you. They chose to do that. You didn't say, hey, I need a birthday cake. They chose to do that. So you can respond, oh my gosh, I bet it'll taste great. Instead of, oh, what a sacrifice. You must be so tired, right? You don't want to engage in that negative behavior. And when you're juicing them up and their martyrdom when you do that. So you, again, you acknowledge, but you don't get sucked into the pity party. And the other thing that you can do is just be honest. I mean, I think it just amazes me how we, and I mean people in general, can view honesty as, and I think especially women, if you're direct and honest, women, I think a lot of women don't know how to handle that, but that being honest is viewed as being mean. I'm going to do something down the road. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to be really honest and I could be cruel, and I'm consciously choosing not to be cruel, but I'm calling out and I've tried to call in and that hasn't worked. So you can consider making the choice to be honest and call them in. You know what, Julie, I've noticed this about you. It's like my brother saying to me, you see yourself as a victim all the time. And that was calling me in. He wasn't a jerk about it. It was mainly neutral, mainly informative, tinged with a little bit of annoyance. But I was able to hear it. So be honest with someone. You know what, I'm really uncomfortable that you give me all these gifts. let's have a conversation about that. Now, if you're like me and needed to switch off the martyrdom, how do you stop? First thing I'm going to suggest is shoring up your self-esteem. Just work on loving yourself, feeling that you're good enough, you're worthy, and you're loved. There are different things that you can do for that. Maybe it's talking to a therapist or a coach and coming up with a game plan. Maybe it's doing some journaling. Maybe it's writing down all the awesome qualities you love about yourself and thinking, well, why do I believe that? Maybe someone put a false belief in you as a kid. I was told I didn't have any art talent, and that's not true. And that's something when I'm settled, I'm looking more forward to exploring. Find a new role. If you're a martyr, you have been self-sacrificing, you're the nurturer. I consider myself a very nurturing person, but it depends on how you handle it. Like, I'm happy. Like, I'm very kind of old school. Like, as soon as I'm done with this, Tony had to work late last night, I'm going to go make him breakfast. I'm happy to do that 99% of the time. I don't feel like it's a sacrifice. It's just one of the ways that I express love and want to take care of them. But if you're being the martyr, you're a self-sacrificing nurturer. So what can your new role be? Let's have some fun with this. Confident? Plain old friend? Ask yourself if it's a healthy role. Is there a quality in the relationship? Because when you're the martyr, there is an equality. And some people, trust me, would love to take advantage of that. And that's not what you want. So maybe you become the jokester. You become really great at you're quick-witted and always have a funny line to say. Maybe you are the organizer. You're super organized, and that can get a way of using your skills and talents and beef up your self-esteem. But say, hey, can you help? You're so good at organizing. Help us, and you're happy to do it. And it's not out of obligation. Own your life. Know what you can change. That is you. The only thing you can change. Stop blaming others. You're responsible for your choices. You are responsible for your life. When you do that, even if it's hard, it's kind of like the opposite of the donut. It'll feel better in the long run. Practice self-growth. If you are tuned in and listening right now, you're watching, you are doing it. You're here because you want to learn and grow. And that's amazing. I have many faults, but one of the things that I have committed to is personal growth. And it's been about 20 years, maybe longer. I'd have to think about that, maybe 25. Not always easy, not always fun. But again, I'm looking at it as a marathon and long-term. I know when I do the hard stuff, I feel better. It supports me. I'm able to move forward. I'm happier. And I can see that in my own life, like relationship, finding Tony. I had to work on myself to be a better woman, to attract a better man. And I couldn't have asked for anyone better. I couldn't have been happier. Had I not done the self-growth, maybe I'd be single. Maybe I'd be in an unhappy marriage. Who knows? But the benefits to growing and understanding yourself and healing, can't put a price tag on that. Now, caution, you need to have a heads up that someone might not be okay with this role. You know, we get into these, I'm a this, you're a that, and we get into kind of these routines. And so when you say, hey, I'm not going to give you gifts, or I'm going to say no, or you set boundaries, right? And that's another thing you want to begin to do is set boundaries, not say yes to everyone, say yes to yourself, put yourself first. How can you do that? So just be prepared that you're going to get some pushback. So what I would say is, again, this is because I have always done this, especially when I was a doormat and first setting boundaries, and it was hard. And, you know, I'm going through something now. And I'm like, oh, it's a big thing to say, you know what? No, this is what we settled on. This is not okay. You know, you agreed to these terms. I still sometimes get that little flutter in my stomach. So what can you do if someone responds, what? You can't do that. Why? You always do blah, blah. Well, you know what? I'm working on myself and I need to have time to contemplate, to journal, to see my therapist, whatever it is. I always like to come up with a couple pat answers that I can refer to, easily respond, so it takes less of the pressure off. Because when I'm put on the spot, I don't think very well. And so it just helps me to have something's written down. So if you're like me, maybe prepare a couple lines or things. And you don't, the bottom line is you don't owe anyone an explanation. So please remember that. But that is something just to have a heads up for. Take actions from today's podcast. Recognize what may be driving you to feel the need to save others. Be aware of the signs you're martyring. Be understanding of someone who's trying to save you. Create a plan to deal with the martyr in your life. Shore up your self-esteem. Find a new role. Practice self-growth. Set boundaries and be prepared for pushback. Next month, we're talking about what people want to know about clutter. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. You've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out. Please rate, review, and share us.